I think that ultimately in a family, the marital relationship should come first, which means to say that each spouse should view the other spouse as the most important member of the family and then the children.
Hello and welcome to the Connect to Marriage podcast. I'm June and I'm your host for this episode. In each episode of the Connect to podcast, we'll be tackling questions that couples ask about marriage, communication, conflict, and so much more. We hope you keep tuning in to learn with us as you grow closer, deeper, and stronger. In the previous episode, we talked about what healthy male leadership looks like in a marriage and a family. Today, we are glad to have Mark and Sue back again with us, and we will be diving deeper into what it means to raise a family while growing your marriage partnership. Our focus today will be on raising children with the understanding of the complementary roles that we play as fathers and mothers. So welcome back to the podcast, Mark and Sue. Perhaps we can start by talking about complementary parenting roles. So how do you express and live out your unique strengths as dad and mom?
For parenting, what is most important is that both of the parents are on the same page. In our experience with counseling, we have realized children are very smart and quick to pick up when one says no, and then they go to the other one, and hopefully, you know, the other one says yes. And it can lead to a lot of misbehavior, a lot of confusion in a child. And we have seen it play out, you know, in children acting up and so on. Being on the same page, to me, that's the first thing to make sure that even if we may not always necessarily agree, we come to a conclusion before we talk about it with the children as well.
It doesn't mean that we have to agree about everything. So it doesn't mean that I like salmon, I must insist that she likes salmon as well. They must all eat salmon together. Okay, it's not going to work that way. What Sue means and what I strongly believe in is we need to be in one accord for the most important aspects of parenting. For example, our general approach towards discipline, our general approach towards, let's say,
screen time,
towards friends, what do we view to be acceptable or non-acceptable in terms of language, in terms of viewing habits, or things like that. The bigger principles in terms of parenting.
Again, we come with our different strengths and weaknesses to the equation. The differing roles over the child's lifespan, I think it changes. Yeah, so I mean, women tend to be in a very nurturing role, you know, at the start. And of course, because the child needs the mom for feeding, for nurturing, for looking after, it's been a joy to see, like for my two boys, as they grow older, they look for daddy for a lot of things, you know, conversations about growing up, dealing with teenage issues, playing board games, even cooking with him. I think it evolves over time, you know, the different roles that we play. In the early years, sometimes the husbands can feel a bit sidelined or out of place. It's so new to them, you know, this whole idea of baby care, changing diapers, child rearing. And so I think wives also need to be patient with their husbands as they navigate these very foreign things to them. Yeah, and husbands can also support in other ways by taking care of their wives during the time when their wives are so tired and waking up with the baby at night as well. I think it really differs from couple to couple. We have seen so many configurations of it where it works out just based on the different strengths they bring to the marriage as well.
So let's talk about many things. I mean, what I wanted to focus on is this thing about the role of the parent, like in the early age, looking at for attachment, attachment theory, right? You need a primary caregiver and you need a secondary caregiver. I mean, oftentimes it's the mom that plays that role. Not always, okay, because of changing family norms and stuff like that. In the later years, the pre-adolescent, tween years, the teenage years, the father actually plays a very important role. Like, for example, for my boys, there's certain things they'll talk to me and not Sue. They'll say, oh, it's just more comfortable talking about certain issues to do with adolescence, growing up, sexuality. I mean, so they'll talk about such things with me more. I mean, of course, they're still open to talking to mommy about it, but they would rather talk to me about some of these things, the details. I mean, mommy would just know the overall, but then they may not talk about every single nitty-gritty detail with mommy. Yeah, not because they don't trust her, but it's just they feel more comfortable with me in that sense.
Thanks for sharing and raising very important points, Sue and Mark. You first raised the important point about presenting a united front, talking through issues together as really spouses, right? Partners in this whole parenting journey. And that really requires some thought put into it. You mentioned about, you know, what are important boundaries to set when it comes to screens, words that you can use, words that you shouldn't use, things like that. It really boils down to the values and beliefs of each individual family and couple. And then you also went into a little bit of the playing to each other's strengths may change as the children grow. You know, when it comes to adolescence and puberty time or the period, the role of that you play as a father might become so much more crucial and important. Although they still go to mommy for different things, but when it comes to something specific like, you know, these identity issues or even questions about sexuality, they really come to you. And these are, yeah, really important ways that show you both playing complementary roles and even changing through the seasons. And I'm wondering if you would like to say something about how your marriage relationship then empowers you both to play such roles. Because sometimes when the marriage is impacted or the communication is not so good, does it affect the way you parent as well?
I've seen so many instances, like I mentioned, when the child is very young, sometimes the husband can feel sidelined because he's overwhelmed in the first place in this new role with a new member of the family. And, you know, especially with a first-time mom, sometimes our anxiety can, you know, take over what we feel is good. Or, you know, we want the care of the baby to be very specific, you know, according to what we think is best. Of course, all out of love. But as a result, sometimes the husband can feel left out of the equation or even helpless, not knowing what to do. I've seen young couples, once they navigate, there are a few stages they need to navigate, but this is a very big one. And if they navigate it successfully, actually it builds much stronger into the marriage. So giving daddy a specific role to play, you know, in the childcare, making sure that he is part of the baby care, you know, whatever it is, changing the diapers, taking the night feed, these are very specific ways where we can include our husbands as well, so that they feel like a part of the whole parenting process.
I think that ultimately in a family, the marital relationship should come first, which means to say that each spouse should view the other spouse as the most important member of the family and then the children, right? So we're not looking at a child-centered family where everything revolves around the children's schedules. So, I mean, it's easy to do that on the early onset, everything according to baby, okay? Follow the baby, do everything the baby does. And as the children grow older, okay, everything along the tuition, along the enrichment, along the child's schedule. But actually, from our perspective, I think Sue agrees with me, it's ultimately the marriage first, the spouse first. In other words, even like for ourselves, for even at an early age, we've always believed that in traveling, right? And I know that many families don't travel because they say that the child comes first, you know, it's too troublesome. But actually, because our family enjoys traveling, so we all travel together. The child comes along with us as part of the family. That's part of the entire aspect of that.
I think that was really well said, Mark. Thanks for bringing that up. You mentioned about not being a child-centered family, but really beginning and starting with the marriage and remembering that you're first a couple, right, before you even became parents. I think that's such a good perspective to have. And sometimes if you talk about the younger couples on the street, they may not remember such things because when the first child comes along, it can be very easy to get caught up in this whole parenting cycle and there's so much expectations. Oh, you must breastfeed. Oh, you must feed in a certain way, or you must wean the child in a certain way. Yeah, there's all these different societal expectations placed on parents. And parents themselves also have their own ideals. My child must go to a certain class or a certain school. So I'm just wondering, when it came to such different parenting decisions or even parenting styles, did you both have to sort of come together to discuss, and what helped you in that process?
A lifetime of love and romance requires intentional effort and attention. Yet in times of busyness and with overwhelming priorities to tend to, our marriages can often take a back seat. No matter the state of your relationship today, we want to help you and your spouse thrive. Check out Connect 2, featuring specially created experiences and resources, our favorite selection of articles, top hits on our podcast, date ideas, conversation starters, and more to address the issues that are keeping you and your spouse apart, and to help you rekindle the joy of pursuing one another. Visit www.family.org.sg/connect2 today.
We talk a lot, sometimes my wife says I talk too much. Every year, actually, what we do is we go away on our anniversary, just two of us without the kids. And we've done this throughout our entire marriage life, to go away somewhere without the kids. And I ask each other, in what way have we been a good spouse? In what way can we be a better spouse? And for each of our children, we'll ask, what's one area that we want to target on to help the child grow? So I think it's in doing this task, we're very intentional about how we want to build on the strengths of each child and work on that. I think it's a constant conversations that, of course, we don't only talk about that once a year, but it's the intentionality behind which we view how we parent our children that's important. And that's how different aspects about parenting and about perspectives get sharpened and consolidated.
Quite thankful that we are mostly on the same page for most of these things, because what we value is very similar. That being said, I'm mindful that sometimes couples come with different priorities for the children in their marriage too. And I think there's no easy way to handle it. But really, I think like Mark says, just keep on talking it through, talking it out. Because the children can definitely pick it up when daddy and mommy are not on the same page. No easy answers to it. The bottom line is we always do not parent out of anxiety. We do not project our desires on our children, because that's not helpful to them at all. And acknowledging that we are all imperfect human beings doing this thing together. There's no perfect parent, far from it. There's no perfect child. So I think negotiating it together rather than seeing the other person as an adversary, I suppose that would be one of the things that we would need to do.
One question I always get asked during either parenting talks or when we do marriage counseling and stuff is this thing about what happens if one spouse is a stricter parent and one spouse is the more lenient parent. How do we go about resolving something like that? So, I mean, this is what we have decided, that, okay, and in this case, I'm generally the stricter parent, so generally the more lenient parent. So with the principle of the united front. So in a sense, if the child starts to ask mommy first, can he do this? Okay. And she says, yes. So after that, when the child comes to me, I'll say, oh, what did mommy say? If the child says, mommy says it's okay, then I'll say, okay, go with what mommy says, because that's what we want to do with united front, right? But if the child comes to me and says, can we do this? And I say, no. Right. And then they go to mommy and they ask, and mommy says, what does daddy say? And daddy says no. And say, well, listen to daddy. Right. So it's a common front that we approach. After that, of course, behind closed doors, we say, you know, why do you say yes or why do you say no? And that's fine, okay, because couples disagree about anything and maybe everything. Okay. But I think in front of the children need to know that you can't play off parent A against parent B. Just because one's more lenient or one's more strict, okay, then you actually find the one that's always more lenient, because daddy and mommy will always be on the same page. That's the general principle we adopt.
That's very wise indeed, you know, and it sounds like it does take the time and the somewhat thrashing out of issues right behind closed doors to be able to come to the same united front and to then present that to the children. So thanks for sharing this, Mark and Sue. And, you know, it actually addressed the frequently asked question that couples have, question about what happens when one spouse is always the bad guy. But as you answered, when you apply that strategy of being united in all the big issues, right, then you wouldn't even have this scenario coming up.
What happens if, let's say, one parent appears to be the bad guy, the harbinger of bad news, so to speak, of? I think what's important is that if a decision seems to be negative towards the child, I think even if the parent is the one who is the quote-unquote bad guy, have the spouse sit next to him, okay? Or if it's the mom, then for the husband to sit next. So when the person delivers the quote-unquote bad news, the spouse is there, and then the spouse is actually not the head or like just add on stuff, so that it's actually a united front. So even though the person appears to be the quote-unquote bad guy in that sense.
Thanks so much, Mark and Sue, for all your sharing. I wanted to draw this episode to a close by hearing your thoughts on what it means to leave a legacy in your marriage to your children. So what do you hope your children will remember about your marriage as they grow up?
For me, they will know that their daddy and mommy were not perfect. Sometimes we argued, we went through conflicts together. But at the end of the day, they have the assurance that we stayed together and that we were working it all out for the benefit of the marriage and for the family. And that is really what I hope they take into their own relationships and their own marriages in the future as well. The legacy of a strong marriage and understanding and trust, yeah, and healthy respect for each other.
For me, it's pretty much similar in a sense. My hope for my kids to know that daddy and mommy love each other a lot. Recently, they've been asking us all these questions, you know, how do you first meet mommy? What do you like about mommy? Asking Sue the same about me, that kind of thing. Especially during adolescence, where they're actually going through some of these questions themselves, or actually their friends witnessing some of these different things. Even their friends' parents going through various issues among themselves. So, I mean, just to for them to know that daddy and mommy love each other a lot, okay? And that they love me too, right? In that context, yeah. But they love each other first before they love us as their children. And that is the right order of things. That daddy and mommy don't love us more than each other, because they should love each other first. That's what we want for them to do. And same for their spouses as well in future, that they will be able to bring that on as well.
So well said, Mark. And Sue, thanks so much once again for sharing with us so generously all your stories as well as your nuggets of wisdom. I'm sure many out there will be blessed by all your sharing. So thank you so much once again.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
So in each podcast, we end off with a couple challenge for couples to do and to share with each other. So if you are listening with your spouse, you can begin to affirm each other's parenting strengths. Share one specific way that you have seen your spouse shine as a parent lately, whether it's in the area of discipline or nurturing or playing with the kids or even problem solving. So try to be as detailed as you can, okay? So yes, we hope that you have found today's episode helpful and encouraging. Do remember to share this podcast with a friend who might also benefit from it. And if you would like to find out more parenting and marriage resources, feel free to hop over to family.org.sg for more details. Thank you once again for tuning in, and until next time, take care of yourself and your spouse.